This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live from the Rudy Luther Toyota studios at AM 950, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you. Matt and Brett here today. Brett, what did you break? How did you break Facebook again?
They changed the way they stream, so I can no longer post to your page. I can only go to the 950 page.
Thank God. I mean, what a crime. If you do want to watch the show, and you usually watch the show on the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show page, just go over to Facebook, AM 950 Radio. You can go catch our entire show there. It is it's radio for your eyes. You can watch this show. We've got a cow, we got a curtain, we're putting on a show. That's all we're doing here. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing all right. How about you? This is your last show for a little while here.
Yeah, we're okay. So let's get a little bit of background history here. Earlier this year, I was slated to get hip replacement surgery because my hip is shot. And I can tell you right now, because I've just put another 6 months on this thing, I need to trade this in. If Rudy Luther could only give me a good trade in on the hip, I would do it in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, what happened was I was in for surgery, okay? I was in the hospital on a gurney, and, you know, a guy, I'm here to shave you, all right? And we're going down this road. Doctor comes in and says, I can't do the surgery today. There's an underlying condition we have to deal with, and we're real concerned about it. And I'm like, what? And if you don't remember, I had a little bit of a, well, near-death experience earlier this year. But good news, it's in remission. Yay, go team go. Thank you very much, doctors and nurses. I believe in science, not just when it's convenient to my political ideology either. And so they put it in remission. But of course, obviously, we still had to do the hip replacement surgery. And trust me when I say this, the hip needs to get fixed. I was out on Tuesday night, on my birthday night. We went out to the Minnesota Zoo and did the pumpkins thing, which once again is a freaking delight. Go do that. That's if you want to get the kids into the Halloween spirit, there you go. And may I say this? I saw this today, Brett. I saw the Christmas Oreos already on the shelves. What are you doing? Well, they could actually, I guess, be leftovers from last year, and they're just trying to get rid of them, I guess. I don't know. But what are you doing? What are you doing? It's October 21st. Stop it. Let us enjoy Halloween. Please.
You're fired up about this. I'm just going to play Christmas music as bumper music the rest of the way now.
It would serve me right. I mean, that'd be a nice way to put me in my place. Don't do that. Do not do that. I think most of the listeners would be with me and saying, what? It's you know, get out there, enjoy the Halloween. It's a great way to get in the Halloween spirit. Delightful. Anyway, I walked all the way out there. And if you don't know where they do that at, it's you go to the Minnesota Zoo. If you've never been there, sorry. But if you've been there, you know what I'm about to talk about. You go past the main plaza area, you go past the tigers, you go past the moose salute. You go up to like you're going to the family farm, but then you kind of take a right and you go out towards where the muskox is. And then past that is a trail. And they've done other exhibits back there. I think they did the dinosaurs back there and they've done the pumpkins back there. And so that's where you go. It's back up in that area there. It's about a mile hike, I'm going to guess, from the front gate all the way out there. And then you walk around the pumpkins and then you hike on back. By the time I got back to the car on Tuesday night, it was rough. And then today I went to MIA because it's MEA. It's MEA weekend. And so the teachers are in the conferences. Salute teachers. You guys are brilliant and love you. You're all fantastic. They're on their conference or convention rather going on right now, the MEA weekend. And so we went to MIA, the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, and walked around there just lucky to have such brilliant museums in this town and just beautiful artwork, just gorgeous, enjoyed that. And by the time I got done, I was really hurting again. So it's time to get this done. I'm glad it's getting done tomorrow. I'm happy it's in the morning, so I'm good. But I am going to be drugged out, man. It's like basically legal bath salts. I'm going to be, because I mean, you know, it's a hip replacement, so it's a full hip replacement. So, you know, they're doing, it's the Black and Decker surgery. I mean, that's really what we're looking at here. Aren't we in a Home Depot? What am I doing here?
You're all drugged up. It's about time we put you on the 5 o'clock police reports. We do. See what you. Well, I guess you won't be moving around too much. Maybe in a car.
How am I going to commit a crime? He's dragging himself across the floor. Not exactly the fastest getaway we've ever seen. It's not going to be like heroin woman yesterday who jumped the fence and ran into the eighth grade football game. You know, naked. I mean, I'm going to have some dignity to my crime spree. Thank you very much.
You kind of set the bar there. Yeah.
By the way, the funniest part about that story from yesterday was, oh, yeah, this is exactly the same thing that happened in the Denver airport. What? When did naked heroin use become a big thing? Anyway, so, no, I'm going to be drugged out of my gourd. Who's filling in tomorrow?
We got Todd Mickelson tomorrow.
Todd. All right. And then next week we're going to have fill-in days. Me coming back, and I'll be doing the show remotely from the Palatial McNeil Broadcasting Complex in the Hopkins Metroplex. When I come back, it basically is it's going to be how fast I can wean myself off the pain medications, because even the doctor said, oh, you don't want to be doing a radio show on these. That was the most sincere thing any doctor has ever said to me. No. You're not going to want to do a radio show.
What does he know? I think that's quite the opposite. I think we would want a radio show.
Well,
Matt Unplugged.
Well, I don't even know what I – oh, God. I mean, how would I sound more frivolous than I already do? I mean, I was just trying to tell you about my hip replacement surgery, and I got into a quick little thing about Christmas versus Halloween. I mean, seriously, am I already on the pain medications? Do you know? I don't know. No, I'm not. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually happy. I'm happy I'm getting this done. And got a lot of things taken care of. Thank you very much to Brett and all the crew that's going to fill in for me. We do appreciate that. Hopefully, fingers crossed, back on Wednesday. Don't be surprised if I'm back on Friday. Okay, don't be surprised if I'm back the day before Halloween. That might be the case. We'll figure it out as we go here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, we got to start with, once again, it is amazing, the Minnesota Reformer. We have the luck of working with Patrick Cooligan on Tuesdays. He comes on and gives us an update. The news outlet, MinnesotaReformer.org, is hitting it out of the park with their coverage of not only the Stallings case, which they were the ones to break, but their continued reporting on the fact that the Minneapolis police is really not a good police department. It really is not. And I know there are some people out there who's like, oh, here's Matt ripping on the cops again. Whoa. Do not make a generic statement. I'm not ripping on the police in Eden Prairie, St. Paul, Duluth, Rochester, Bloomington, Hopkins, Minnetonka, Edina. I'm not ripping on any of those police departments. But dang right, I'm going to rip on the Minneapolis Police Department. Because, they seem to be murdering black people, which we have a conviction on now. Murdering other people, we have that sentence, I'll get to that in here in a little bit. We have repeated, showings of beating of suspects. You have incompetent review process that allows horrific cops to be on the streets. You have cops high-fiving each other as they shoot 40-millimeter rounds at innocent civilians. Tell me I'm lying. Tell me that this is normal. I don't hear about this stuff with other police departments. I'll get back to that here in a second. But I want to read this story, and I'll read it through. We'll take a break, and I'll come back, because I'm going to spend a good chunk of the first hour here. I should mention Sven Sundgaard not going to join us today because he's got what he has described as a soiree. Okay. Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks will be here, though. So an upgrade? Well, I don't know. How good is Bill with weather? I don't know how good he is with the weather, but we will talk Riff Tracks. We're going to talk Squid Game with him as well. But that's coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, Minnesota Reformer story. Here you go. A Minneapolis police officer acknowledged to a local indigenous leader during a videotaped conversation that he and fellow officers have taken a hands-off approach to crime control, including out-in-the-open drug dealing. Now, I want to make sure we understand this. We actually have proof, a tape, of this officer admitting, oh yeah, we're just not doing our job anymore. We don't care. And that's insanity. This is insanity. American Indian activist Mike Forcia, F-O-R-C-I-A, said the Minneapolis cop, whose identity could not be immediately determined, recently told him there's nothing he can do about a suspected drug dealing. An attempted interaction, he said, would turn into a confrontation. The media would spin to look like police beat an innocent black man, and Lake Street might burn again. Oh, trust me, your inaction's about to do a little bit worse damage to you than what you think would have happened if you actually did your damn job. The officers also blamed Governor Walz, Jacob Frey, Minneapolis City Council for police inaction. It's what they want, he said. The dialogue between Forcia and the officer is likely to provide fresh fuel for those who allege Minneapolis police have stopped doing their jobs while still getting paid. They're admitting they're not doing their jobs while they get paid. This is not about adding fuel. They're just not doing it. Police advocates, meanwhile, say progressive politicians and overzealous media scrutiny have made policing impossible in high crime areas where gun crimes increasingly common in the past 18 months or so, which is just bull because aren't these the same people who say, you gotta respect cops, they do a tough job, and then you show them this story, it's like, but they shouldn't have to do that if they don't wanna. Really? They're hired to fight crime. And yet now all of a sudden, when they basically are not doing their job, it's a hard job. Should they have to do it? Yes. I'll get to a lot more here because this is ugly. Between now and Election Day, November 2nd, Minneapolis voters are deciding on question two, which will dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department as we know it, create a new police department of public safety with a public health focus and a stronger role for the city council. Forcia recorded the conversation with his phone. The video was first posted to YouTube by Javier Murillo, a paid consultant for Yes for Minneapolis, a group promoting question two. Forcia said that in a Reformer interview that he called police repeatedly at around 11 a.m. on Sunday to report a man in a green pickup who appeared to be dealing drugs near the Homeward Bound shelter where Forcia works. He said police said someone was coming, but no one came. So he repeatedly called 911 until two cops showed up in a squad car hours after his first call, which once again, that alone, they're not doing their job. The officers didn't get out of the car. The suspicious pickup left the scene. So the pickup truck was still there. The cops got there. Pickup truck left. And the cops did nothing. Forcia went out and asked the officer. He looked into the car while recording the conversation. The officer said he wasn't going to look in the car and could only take action if he saw other violations, like if it were a stolen car. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, this sucks and you guys don't want to hear this, but our hands are tied, the officer said on video. Because of the mayor, Forcia asked. Because of politicians, the officer said. Which ones, Forcia asked. The city council mainly, the mayor a little bit, and the governor a little bit. Forcia asked if the politicians don't want cops looking to cars due to some stated policy. Well, it's not policy, but it's what they want, the officer said. Forcia reminded the officer that Minneapolis Police Department has not been defunded. No, we haven't, but we're very hands-off, the officer said. A Reuters investigation of Minneapolis police data recently revealed... Now, by the way, I want to make sure we just clear up one thing really quick. I don't think anyone in the city council or the mayor or the governor has ever said, we don't want you arresting drug dealers because we don't want the city to be in trouble. No one has said that. And this officer, these officers have decided that the laws we have passed that create the crimes that are that people need to be arrested for do not matter. This is an important thing. I'll tell you what, I'll get back to that in a second. I'll get back to that in a second. But I want to make sure we understand this. No one has told the Minneapolis police to not arrest drug dealers. No one has told Minneapolis police to not show up when people call and say, wow, there's a crime out going on right now. No one has told police not to do their job that they have been hired to do, protect and serve, which they're doing neither right now. They're not protecting. They're not serving. No one has told them not to do things. And what these police officers are doing is saying, I'm not going to enforce that crime. I'm not going to enforce that crime. I'm not going to enforce that crime. I'm not going to enforce it. Talk about who has the big head of power here. Minneapolis police think that they basically have gone through the laws of the city and dictated which ones do get attention and which ones don't. And I got news for you. Most of them don't for them anymore. They suck at being cops. They do. A Reuters investigation of Minneapolis police data recently revealed that since the murder of George Floyd, the number of people approached on the street by an officer was considered them suspicious dropped by 76%. Officers stopped 85% fewer cars for traffic violations. As they stopped fewer people, they found and seized fewer illegal guns. An unnamed officer told Forsha that investigating the suspected drug dealer would likely go badly for the police. That's why we're hands off. Now somebody like that, if we get out on them, pull them out, it's going to turn into a confrontation. Somebody's going to get hurt, and the media is going to spin it and say, hey, the racist Minneapolis Police Department beat up another innocent black man for just sitting in his car. That's how it's going to get spun. Wow. No, your argument is you need to manhandle and beat up suspects? Because that's what you're basically saying here, is that unless you guys can manhandle and beat up suspects, that you basically you can't do your crime. You can't be a police officer unless you're pounding the living daylights out of someone who is a suspect. And if anyone says, wow, you shouldn't be doing that, you just basically say, well, I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. Wow. The alternative, the officer said, is if we just let them go, he's going to pick another place. And once again, this is a police officer who just said, we're going to allow that drug dealer to go out and sell drugs to someone else. Who's the accessory to the crime now? The cop is. If that drug dealer sold drugs and someone overdosed and died, that cop should be held accountable for an accessory to murder. Because they let them, with reckless abandonment, they let that person get away with a crime. When Forsha asked why politicians don't want confrontations with people, the officer replied, because they don't want Lake Street to burn down again. They don't want these riots to happen. I got news for you. The reason why those happened is you murdered a black man in the middle of the street on tape, and you guys acted as if you did something good. You murdered another black man. A badge and a gun murdered another black man in the city of Minneapolis, and the people of the city had finally had enough. That's why the city burned. Not because you're arresting drug dealers. Not because you're doing what police officers are supposed to do, but because you murdered another black man. And don't look at me. Hey, we have a conviction on that one. So it has nothing to do with the innocent people actually getting beat up by the police, Forsha asked. Forsha said he was paid $125,000 in a settlement after getting beaten by police in the 1990s. At the end of the day, it's good people like you that suffer because now we're not doing our jobs to fit the full potential. This is the officer admitting this. The officer replied, I'm sorry that happened. I agree stuff like that needs to change. Laws like this, we should be able to do something about that, but you know we can't. No, you can. You are hired to be a police officer. That is breaking the law if they're dealing drugs. You can stop them. You have just chosen not to do your job. You have chosen not to do your job. Forsha asked what citizens are to do, handle the drug dealers themselves? No, the officer said. Well, then who's going to do it, said Forsha, who didn't get the officer's badge number. Nobody, the officer said. They just get away with it. That's just the bottom line. He's basically saying the police have completely and totally turned a blind eye to all crime in Minneapolis. Wow. Not all crime, but a lot of crimes in Minneapolis. I should say it like that. When Forsha suggested it's a waste of time to call the police, the officer said it's not a waste if they see a good violation they can do something about. The criminals have more freedoms now, he said. They're getting away with so much more. On stuff like this, there's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied. Police spokesman Garrett Parton said he'll look at the video but may not be able to respond until next week. Oh, I got news for you. He's not going to respond at all because the freaking cowards at the Minneapolis Police Department are going. My guess is they've already identified the officer. My guess is because they knew who was the officers that responded there. They already know him, and they're probably telling him, okay, we need you to get retired and then claim medical disability. Get as much money as you can. And then we'll say, gee, Willikers, he resigned. He retired. What can we do? That'd be my guess. It's what's going on right now. During and after the protests that followed the murder of Floyd in May 2020, many residents began reporting slow responses or no responses to their calls for help, leading city council members to openly question whether the police are deliberately pulling back. Some council members feel the wards are targeted because they're supported defunding or restructuring the police department, while Council President Lisa Bender said last year police were telling residents some version of "we're not coming." A lawsuit was filed accusing police of slow response in the Phillips neighborhood. Thomas Coughlin, a retired New York Police Department detective and professor of clinical psychology at John Ray College in Criminal Justice, which is part of the City University of New York, told Reformer in June that police unions sometimes stage sick outs or encourage cops to go dead. He said it will stop writing tickets and making arrests to take time on calls to discipline the Department of Community, the department or the community. Forsha said he sees drug deals all the time. And before the nearby homeless encampment of Cedar and Franklin Avenue was recently dismantled, he and other staffers were running around with Narcan all over the place to try to save people from overdosing. He said he was disgusted to hear police officers say he can't do anything about suspected drug dealing. He said the officer was so condescending while our people are dying literally. We're just running on a treadmill, losing our footing, he said. We don't know how many funerals we have here in our community due to drug overdoses. I'll take a break. I'll come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. This is going to be a good chunk of this hour right here. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Okay, let's break this down a little bit here. There is an interesting hearing going on in the Minnesota Senate right now because they're upset with the Ramsey County attorney who said that he's not going to prosecute low-level, you know, traffic, you know, crimes anymore because he doesn't want to. He doesn't see the need to basically, you know, harass. What, you know, a lot of minority people. And of course, the Republicans are throwing, oh, how dare the Ramsey County attorney dictate which laws and rules he's going to enforce. But funny, you are not going to see at all in any capacity any Republican have the same outrage at the Minneapolis Police Department because they themselves are openly admitting they have determined certain crimes are not, they're not going to pursue them. They're not going to enforce the laws they've been hired to enforce. This is their entire job. You do not have the right to determine what is and is illegal. Who made you the dictator? Who made you the final law about what you have? You come up to a drug dealer. You see the drug dealer. You see the car. The car pulls away, and you admit, yeah, that guy's going to just go deal drugs someplace else. We're not going to stop him. That is unbelievable. How bad they are. And my guess is, I want to know who told you this. Because I can tell you right now, I don't think the city council told you not to arrest drug dealers. I don't think Jacob Fry told you not to arrest drug dealers. I don't think Governor Walz told you not to arrest drug dealers. So who in your department made this decision? You freaking cowards, at least have the guts to own up to your own actions. while you run away? Or are my words going to cause a whole bunch of you guys to claim, oh, I've got trauma from my certain time in the service. I need disability. Is that what's going to happen? Am I calling you out on this? Which one of you cowards put down this new rule that drug dealers don't get stopped? That you allow the drug dealer to go deal drugs someplace else? Who? Is it the police union head? Is it the police? Is it Bob Kroll still pulling strings from behind the curtain? Who is dictating this? I want to put this in perspective of how bad this is. Say you had your local fire department, okay? And say the fire department was having raucous parties where they were drinking and they were just partying and they loud music all night long. And people were complaining. It's like, my God, the fire department, what is going on here? Why are you behaving like this? Stop it. So they basically tell the fire departments, you can't have your parties anymore. And the fire department's response is, well, fine. We're not going to put out fires. Think about that. I want you to think about that for a second, because that's quite literally the same thing. The fire department throws a fit over being held accountable and then says, oh, there's a house burning down the street and the fire department's like, we're not going to go. If we go put that fire out and I say, yay, good job. You guys are going to yell at us for celebrating too much. So we're just not going to even try to put the fire out. See, problem solved. Would anyone tolerate this? Would anyone tolerate that? Of course not. Right now in this country, doctors and nurses are constantly being harassed by these loon balls that still think coronavirus is made up. Or instead of actually getting legitimate treatment, want them to jam a veterinarian's dosage of horse dewormer up their backside as a cure. They are insulting, they are yelling at them, yet, you know, I don't see the hospital saying, well, we're not going to treat you. They might move the doctor out, the doctor might say, okay, I'm done with this guy, but the hospital itself will still treat you. How about these school boards? You guys, I mean, you have right-wing loon balls showing up to every school board hearing in the country, screaming at the top of their lungs at this point. Yet I don't see the school boards throwing a temper tantrum and saying, well, we're just not going to even run the school anymore. But Minneapolis police, you tell the Minneapolis police, hey, okay, so you can't murder any more black people. You can't just beat suspects uncontrollably. You can't just shoot rounds at civilians unprovoked and high-five each other about that. And so that you can't do that anymore and look at them. Oh, then we're not going to even police the streets. And how many Republicans are backing up this unbelievably bad police behavior? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More on this when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. In case you've missed it, what we're talking about, the Minnesota Reformer story, police officers caught on camera basically saying, yeah, we're not enforcing most of the laws anymore, and even allowing a suspected drug dealer to just leave a scene, never once even confronting him, and saying, and what they're trying to imply is that the city and the mayor and the governor are behind this. The reality is no one has told them they shouldn't do their job. They have been hired. They are paid to be cops. The police are paid to be police. They have been hired to protect and serve. No one has told them, don't arrest drug dealers. No one has told them that you can't confront that. That the governor hasn't said that. The mayor hasn't said this. The city council hasn't said this. It's the other day I had what seemed to be a conservative person who was running for city council in my city come by and talk. And he said, well, look at the disaster that Minneapolis is that they defunded the police. I said, they haven't defunded the police. They haven't. The disaster right now in Minneapolis is because the police aren't doing their job. And he says, well, and they should. Wait a minute here. You can't say the police aren't able to do their job because they defunded. And when I point out they haven't been defunded, then argue, say, well, then they shouldn't be doing their job. But then we should defund them. You can't. This is just a bunch of spoiled brats who basically, when they're called out for murdering George Floyd or called out for their consistent aggressive behavior, when they're called out for firing 40 millimeter rounds at the public unprovoked, when they're called out for attacking the media in the riots afterwards, when they're called out for their consistent lack of any kind of discipline for bad cops, when they're called out for destroying evidence at the second precinct, when they're called out, their mentality is, unless you let us do what we want to do, then we're not going to do our job. Well, then we shouldn't pay you. You should quit. We should not pay you because you suck at being a cop. This does not happen. I'm not saying there aren't problems in other police departments. Of course there are. But nothing of the consistent magnitude of Minneapolis. St. Paul is nothing like this. Duluth, Rochester, they're nothing like this. I'm not saying there aren't occasional problems. But think about like the big suburbs, Bloomington, Eden Prairie. When was the last time an Eden Prairie cop questionably killed a suspect? Period. How about a Bloomington cop? Plymouth, Maple Grove, Anoka. When was the last time that happened? Well, okay, Brooklyn Center. We had the woman who thought her gun was her taser, and she shot Dante Wright. It does not happen that often. When was the last time the Eden Prairie Police Department started firing 40-millimeter rounds at the citizens of Eden Prairie unprovoked? When did that happen? When did that happen in Woodbury? When did that happen up in White Bear Lake? Invergrove Heights? Egan? When was the last time a police officer in Burnsville started beating the living daylights out of a suspect right there in the middle of the street? When is the last time that happened in Edina? Wayzata? It does not happen nearly at the consistent level it happens in Minneapolis, because the culture of the Minneapolis cops are that we can do whatever we want to do, and that includes murder people. And when people say, hey, you probably shouldn't have murdered George Floyd, they, how dare you? When people point out the Stallings case, they start shooting rounds at an unmarked van, at an innocent civilian. When they start doing that, how dare you question our police ability? Seriously, this is unbelievable that you have this level of consistent problem with the Minneapolis Police Department, and they're admitting it now. Yeah, we're just not doing our job. We don't care. And they can sit there and try to say city council. They can sit there and try to say mayor. No one has ordered them or commanded or dictated or legislated them to stop doing their job. This is only them having a pity party for their pathetic selves. That's all this is. And this just does not happen in other major police departments in the state on nearly the consistent basis. It is just disturbing. I want to go back to this one paragraph. The unnamed officer told Forsha that investigating the suspected drug dealer would likely go badly for the police. That's why we're hands off. Now, somebody like that, if we go get out on him, pull them out, it's going to turn into a confrontation. Somebody's going to get hurt, and the media is going to spin it and say, hey, the racist Minneapolis Police Department beat up another innocent black man just for sitting in his car. That's how it's going to get spinned. Spun is the correct word. You also apparently didn't go through. Not only did you suck at police class, but grammar as well. Spinned. What he's saying there is that unless we can beat this guy up, because that's the only policing the Minneapolis police apparently know, is to pull someone out of their car and start pounding on them, that if they were to do that, people are going to think we're being aggressive. Yeah. Yeah, we would. Yeah, that's, yeah. Yep, mission accomplished. Yes. Yes, indeed. We would look at you as if you are beating someone up. If you're beating someone up. Yep, our eyes work. I mean, I brought up the point with the Stallings case, that Stallings, an Army veteran, who was being shot at, who had actually been hit in the chest with a 40-millimeter round, who thought he was being attacked by white supremacists, still had the frame of mind to fire at the ground in front of what he didn't know at that point was police officers, because they came in unannounced, to try to scare them off. And I want to put that in perspective, because the Minneapolis police, unannounced, were firing rounds into people. And the innocent civilian that got shot by them was doing what the police officer should have done, taking public safety into measure first. Now you have a case, they roll up and there's a drug dealer sitting in front of this place, and at no point did they even get out. Well, first of all, 3-4 hours to respond to a 911 call about a drug dealer actively dealing drugs, and at no point did they even go up there and try to stop them. It is just unbelievable. This is where we're at. That this is, and this is not the city council. The city council has not defunded them. This is not the mayor. The mayor hasn't defunded them. This isn't the governor. The governor hasn't defunded them. The vote for that happens in two weeks. No, this is just the decision of the Minneapolis Police Department to not do their damn job. I got more thoughts on this in a second. Bob is in Northeast Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Bob.
Hey, there, Matt. This isn't, you're repeating something that was, I think, started by this, I don't even know how to describe her, pie in the sky, rose-colored glasses, president of the council, Lisa What's-Her-Face over there in tent.
Lisa Bender?
Yeah. If I recall correctly, if it was reported accurately, she thought that the police department should go away, period. Not get restructured, not get defunded, blah, blah, blah. Just get rid of it.
I mean, but Bob, I'm going to step in on you here right now. And thank you, Bob. We're done with your phone call for this reason. I don't care what anyone else says. I got a news story here from the Minnesota Reformer about a cop basically saying, I'm not doing my job. You basically being, you know, going on your clearly a political rant against Lisa Bender to try to make it seem like this is some sort of acceptable behavior. I want to go back to the fire department scenario. We hire firemen to do what? Fight fires. And if the firemen started saying, we're not going to put the fires out, well, they pretty much have no purpose there and they all should be fired, correctly? Correct. Yes, that's how it is. Here is a police officer who has been hired to protect and serve. That's on the side of those cars. You know what I mean? They are supposed to enforce the laws of the city. And here they are saying, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do our job. You can sit there and try to say politician this or politician that. No one has told them to do anything outside of their job. They have been hired to do this. We pay them as taxpayers to do their job, and they're not doing their job. So you sitting there and trying to turn this into some sort of justifiable argument, there is no justifiable argument here.
I just got to check. He wasn't quite going that way when I was talking to him off air. He was kind of
starting to go that way, okay, right when we were on air, and so it did sound that's where he was going. And if I'm wrong, though, I'm sorry. This is about the police officer on tape admitting we're not enforcing the laws. This is about the police officer on tape saying, we're not enforcing the laws. And so I'm sorry. I have zero tolerance because that's the deflection technique. Let's talk about Lisa Bender. Let's talk about Jacob Frey. Let's talk about Governor Walz. Let's talk about this. No, let's talk about the cop caught on tape saying, we're not going to do our job. Let's talk about that, because that is the problem. And Bob, if you had someplace else you were going, I had no idea where you were going with it, but it sure sounded like, considering how kind of disrespectful you're being to Lisa Bender, that's where you were going with it. I don't care. I can say, boy, the cops suck. Does that mean the cops don't have a right to do their job? Does that mean that? No, they've been hired to be police officers. They don't want to do the job. They should quit. I actually wonder how much of this is political, if you want to know the truth. I wonder if this is just the police trying to get that charter passed, the question two passed, so that they can give Republicans something to campaign on in 2022. And it's like, oh, they defunded the city of Minneapolis, defunded their police department. At the end of the day, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break. When I come on back, I'm going to basically give you, if you're the DFL, I'm going to give you point by point instructions on how to counter this argument that they are making. Because at the end of the day, it's a crime that not every Republican is out there. If you truly do support the police and you hear what these officers are saying, you should be demanding that resignation. You should be demanding some accountability. Not trying to say, well, it was justified because they said something meanie pants. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Yeah, it's almost like, are the police trying to get that question two passed? Because they're trying to give Republicans a campaign point. But here you go. DFLers, here's how you counter this, okay? When they sit there, it's like, well, Minneapolis is defunding the police. Whatever district you're in, say, I'm just going to bring up Eden Prairie because we're located in Eden Prairie. Let's say you're in Eden Prairie and the Republican says, well, you're defunding the police. You see what the DFL is doing. It's like, oh, I live in Eden Prairie. Do the Eden Prairie police kill black men? No. Do the Eden Prairie police open fire in unmarked vehicles unannounced on innocent civilians? No. Do the Eden Prairie police beat suspects ruthlessly whenever they're making an arrest? No. Do the Minneapolis or do the Eden Prairie police, do they go on out there and say, we're just not going to do our job? No, of course not. Do the Eden Prairie police open fire on the residents of Eden Prairie with 40-millimeter rounds unjustified and then high five when they start hitting people and people are running away in terror? No. But apparently my opponent thinks that's all good police work and that should be addressed. This is not a universal problem. This is a problem Minneapolis has. I'm running in Eden Prairie. If he wants to go deal with Minneapolis's problems, he should move to Minneapolis and solve them. But right now, Minneapolis's problems are not here in Eden Prairie. Eden Prairie police don't have these problems. This is not an issue. We're not going to defund our police department here. Ta-da! Ta-freaking-da! Because you know what? You ask those questions. They cannot say, yeah, that's good police work. They cannot say killing George Floyd was good police work. They cannot say beating the living daylights out of a suspect is good police work. They cannot say firing 40-millimeter rounds at innocent civilians is good police work. They cannot say being caught on tape saying we're not going to do our job is good police work. To basically not showing up for 3 hours on a police call, not going out there, allowing a drug dealer to go and sell drugs somewhere else. Is that good police work? And if they say, well, it's just one or two bad apples, they say, well, then how come every freaking apple we're pulling out of the Minneapolis barrel is bad? Once again, this is not about Eden Prairie or Bloomington or St. Paul or Duluth or pretty much everywhere else. No one has this kind of consistent problem. This is only about the Minneapolis police, and the Minneapolis police suck at their job. They really, really do. Robert is in Columbia Heights. Let's get him on in here. Welcome on in, Robert.
Yeah, hi, man. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I just wanted to say that I love your passion, and your sarcasm and humor might be a little understated for those who actually need to get it.
You want to know the truth? I got to tell you the truth, Robert. The reality is this, is I already know that there are people here that no matter what I say or anyone says, they're not going to change their mind. Most of the Republican Party, they just, all cops are good, including the ones that killed George Floyd. Well, you know, stop talking just about that. Well, no, we can talk about a lot of things that the Minneapolis police are doing wrong. They will never come back and say, boy, there's a problem there and they need to fix it. That's why, you know, at the end of the day, I think that if this question two does get passed, that's the city of Minneapolis itself saying enough's enough. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. Gary's in Minneapolis. We got less than a minute, Gary.
Yeah, Matt. I bet those Eden Prairie and Wayzata police did work as diligently or as hard as the Minneapolis cops in busting people for petty marijuana charges and giving them a record that would maybe destroy their lives.
Well, and you know, Gary, it's a good point, is that you see, the whole problem here is that the Minneapolis police basically had the mentality of, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And then they murdered George Floyd, and they went, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And the city exploded. And now that the city is saying, we're going to do something about it, now all of a sudden they're having a little pity party, and they're feeling sorry for themselves, and they're insisting they're not going to do their jobs. Fire every one of them that refuses to do their job, because they've been hired to be a cop, and if they don't want to do that, they should go. Hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is the Matt McNeil Show. No, I want to be very clear about one thing. I very much support police officers. Police officers have a very tough job. And for them to go on out and do it and not kill black men and not fire 40-millimeter rounds at innocent civilians and laugh and cackle as they do so and not beat up suspects constantly and not go on out there and open fire on an innocent civilian without announcing who they are. And to not go out there and just say, we're not going to do our job this day. The fact that those people go out there, most police officers do go on out there and do their job in the face of danger, that's an attribute to them. But the Minneapolis Police Department, that thing is rotten to the freaking core. And if you tell me if you had that same kind of behavior happening in your local police department, What would you tolerate that? Of course not. Of course not. It's just, and like I said, to have him on tape, have the officer, we didn't hear the first hour, have the officer and the Minnesota Reformer story on tape saying, yep, we're just not even enforcing laws and crimes anymore. They have themselves dictated what crimes they're going to enforce. And that's not what they've been hired to do. And they all should be fired. If they're this bad at their job, they should be fired. 952-946-6205. Coming up here, now we usually have had, well, we've been for like the last 6 months or so, Sven Sundgaard has been kind enough to join us on Thursdays. Unfortunately, today he's got a bit of a soiree that he has to go to, so he's not available. But Bill Corbett is, of course, from Riff Tracks and MST3K. Bill Corbett, they've got an event coming up here. I believe this is on Tuesday. Riff Tracks Live, Amityville 4. Oh, I bet that's bad. Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. Oh.
What year was this made?
I don't know.
It strikes me as being like a really bad late 80s, early 90s type
it
movie.
It does. It
where
does.
They're running out of steam. They just need some cash.
It looks painful. Fathom Events is putting it on. It's in 5 days here, so I believe it's on Tuesday, October 26th. I believe they're going to be doing it. I'm not mistaken. The way they've been doing it is they'll do it live at one theater, and then you can see it live in other theaters. So we'll talk to him about that. Plus, I got to ask him about Squid Game and how that movie has – why in the world is that movie – or that TV show, has it done so well here? I would love to get his thoughts on that. We'll talk to Bill Corbett. Have him back. I haven't talked to him in a while. Coming up here in just a little bit. The Salmonella outbreak. Now, you and I talked about this, 2 months ago? 600 Americans, including 23 Minnesotans, have been the Salmonella outbreak was linked to onions. That's what they discovered. Centers for Disease Control announced on Wednesday. This was people should not eat red, white, or yellow onions imported from Chihuahua, Mexico. Yes, that Chihuahua. Well, that's where the dog come from. Chihuahua, Mexico. Distributed by ProSource Incorporated, federal officials said. Now, I went to my grocery store today, and I said, is this the, and they said, oh, no, that, we didn't have those. Those are gone. Now, the onions can stay in stock for a while. There are some things that you can pick them, and they're going to be good for a while. Onions, apples are good. You keep them refrigerated. They're good for a long time. Potatoes. So there's a chance that there still could be some onions out there that might be tainted. So you want to be careful with that. So once again, you should not get either red, white, or yellow onions imported from Chihuahua, Mexico, distributed by ProSource Incorporated. Businesses that have the onions in stock are asked to not sell them. The least you could do. you know the food product over there that's making everyone sick? Let's take that off the two-for-one special, shall we? let's not sell that. If the onions have touched any surfaces or containers, people should wash the containers and surfaces with hot, soapy water. How bad was this?
That's not a good sign at all.
If you can't tell where the onions are from, don't buy or eat them. I'm not like eating them like an apple. Yum. Tangy. The federal officials said the onions were last imported on August 27th, but imported onions can last up to 3 months in storage. What would that be? September? It's November 27th. So they could still be some in the storage. Some 652 people across 37 states infected with Salmonella. Federal officials said on Wednesday there have been 129 hospitalizations to the outbreak. I never had that. I had a friend that got it one time. I think it was from lettuce, if I remember correctly. He got it from lettuce. Oh, that was not – he said that was wildly unpleasant. And he's to a point where it was clear without getting into too much graphic detail, it was clear when he had zero control over anything that I need to get to the hospital now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was, a fountain in a German square. Let's it didn't go well. It's rough. Yeah, and good news, it they have at least tracked it down now. So that's the good news there.
What about the orchids though? Are those all right?
Onions and orchids. Oh yeah. God, I miss that. Don't tease me. If you're not a fan of the show, you haven't been with us for a while. We used to have this great thing out of the Mesabi Daily News, Onions and Orchids, which was basically a online chat forum published anonymously, which was, it just led to the stupidest things being said. Orchids were the nice comments, like, oh, thanks to the ladies' auxiliary for that wonderful potluck they put on the other day. Oh, that jello salad was just special. That was the orchids, but there was only like one orchid in the entire thing. The rest of it was onions, and it was like, do you know what that evil Nazi Hillary Clinton's doing? Someone must have sued them. Because they had to stop it. And well, basically it became you could no longer be anonymous. You had to actually put your name on it. And all the Iron Range cowards who basically were constantly commenting all of a sudden, oh, I want everyone to know who I am. They ran away. Ruined it. You ruined it for me.
I'm glad the orchids are all right. You got me concerned with onions being bad here with salmon.
Well, the onions are always bad, man.
Yeah,
orchids are delightful. How many orchids have you eaten?
That might explain some issues I've been having.
Those Mabel and the gals, when they put on that knitting party they did. What a humdinger that was. What an orchid to you. There you go. Remember the orchid for the funeral home for putting out a nice funeral for Dad? Oh, I kept waiting. It's like, where's the onion for this? Where's this? We had a funeral. Let me tell you about what the heck happened up there. Oh, my God. Was it chaos? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I've got a lot to get to yet before we get to Bill Corbett here at the bottom of the hour. Minnesota coronavirus update. The Thursday COVID update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 2,361 new cases, 26 newly reported deaths, including a person age 15 to 19 from Hennepin County. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 8,515. The teenager who died marks the first person aged 15 to 19 in Minnesota to die from COVID-19. The only other under 20 deaths in Minnesota were one individual aged 0 to 4 and two individuals aged 5 to 9. Doesn't mean you can't get sick, because they've had a lot of people sick. But there you go. As of October 19th, the state reported that 3,447,401 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,280,444 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 267,697 third-dose booster shots. Through October 20th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 928, down from 935 on Wednesday, which is good, because that those numbers had been atrocious for a while. They definitely were going in the wrong direction. It's the second straight decrease after reaching a high of 1,007. Of those hospitalized, 248 people are in intensive care, 680 in general hospital care. The 2,361 positive test results on Thursday were from only 28,101 tests, creating a test positivity rate of 8.40. Yesterday we were down below 5 for the first time in months, now well above it again. The World Health Organization recommends that a percentage positive rate of below 5% for at least 2 weeks is necessary to safely keep the economy open. So there's that. I'll tell you what, we'll get back to that in just a second. I got more on the Minnesota coronavirus update, but Edmund is in Minneapolis who wanted to chime in on last hour. Welcome on in, Edmund.
Hello. Hey, yeah, sorry. I just had something really quick, you know, because I heard what you were saying, and I worked at the Merwin's in Minneapolis on Broadway and Lindale. I don't know if you're familiar with all the issues there, but we actually had the police come in and specifically tell us that the boss for the gang control unit told them not to do anything. We've had three kids shot out there in the past couple months, and they were told just to turn a blind eye and not even try to start doing anything.
The story you're saying is that the who was it exactly that said told the police not to do anything?
The boss, whoever is in charge of the gang control unit, the gang unit for the Minneapolis Police Department, because we get the gang police in there quite often.
Okay.
And
the police officer, and I'm just making sure I got this correctly from your story here, and it was police officers that told you that they were told not to really do anything.
Correct, because we were asking, why is this going on? You know, they're selling everything that you can think of right there. People are getting shot. And why won't you do anything? We see your cop cars out there. You're right across the street, and nothing happened. Someone got shot. They came through the parking lot and left without asking anyone anything.
Wow. Edmund, yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate the story. Thank you very much. And once again, that's his story. I think that's the liquor store that they just announced they want to move because they've had so many problems up there and the police aren't doing anything about it. There is a chronic problem there in Minneapolis. It's not in any other police department. This is not the second worst. I was trying to think to myself, what's the second worst police thing I've heard happen in the last year? It's probably the county sheriffs up in northern Minnesota being hired as basically private thugs to basically corral and harass Line 3 protesters. It's the county sheriffs up there that have basically become hired security for Enbridge. That was a pretty egregious thing. But even that is pales in comparison with the Daily Mounts. How about the fact that no one seems to be getting held accountable for anything, including opening fire on innocent civilians in the city of Minneapolis? No one is being held accountable. And at the same time, they're actually filing bogus charges and prosecuting individuals who did nothing outside of try to defend their own lives. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The latest, go back to the Minnesota coronavirus update. The latest COVID-19 figures in Minnesota's pre-K-12 schools now show that the deaths of two more school staff members and the virus were reported in the past week, along with the death of a student. The Minnesota Department of Health's weekly report shows there have now been 13 school staff deaths of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic, an increase from two from a week ago. The department also reported the second death of a student from COVID-19 since the pandemic started, and the first of this school year. No details available. It was that individual 15 to 19 in Hennepin County, though. The development prompted a statement from the Education Minnesota, which has called on all school districts to implement masking, social distancing, quarantine, and vaccination guidelines to set out by the state health officials. Five school staff members and one student have died of COVID this school year, and it's only October, said Denise Sprecht, president of the Education Minnesota. There is no excuse for any district leader to ignore the guidelines for masking, social distancing, quarantining, and vaccinations set out by state and federal public health authorities. The loss of this student is a tragedy that every educator will feel, Sprecht said. We're asking parents to please reduce the risk of another tragic death of a student by vaccinating their teens. When the vaccine becomes available for younger children, vaccinate them too. There have been two more students and three more staff members placed in the ICU with COVID-19, a further 10 students and three staff members hospitalized from the virus. In the terms of cases, we're at 2,548 additional COVID cases among students and staff recorded in the past week. That's the highest it's been at any point during the recent Delta variant surge. However, it's too early to tell if there's now been a decline in school staff cases that mirrors the decline in cases seen in all age groups of the past few days. If there is a correlation, then we can expect the number of cases among students and staff should fall by the time the next weekly report is released on October 28th. The growth in the number of schools that have reported five or more COVID-19 deaths within a two-week reporting period is slowing down. There are 535 Minnesota schools that have reported five or more cases as of Thursday, up from 497 last week, though the week before the number was 405. So it's, once again, I do not have the time to read every school like I was for a while there. Of the 535 schools, most of them come from outside the seven-county metro area, 339. Well, let's do this really quick. Matt's Math Corner. Let's pull up the old calculator, which would be 339 divided by 535 equals, all right, 63%. So even though only 44.5% of the state's population lives outside the seven-county metro area, that 44.5% of the population is responsible for 63% of the schools where they're having outbreaks of coronavirus. 63%. Yep, thanks, Republican Party in Minnesota. You guys suck at this. But hey, I guess it's really easy to ask your own constituents to die for your causes. Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got updates on the outstate counties. And yep, they're not doing well. We'll got to talk about that in a second. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I want to give Michael Rowan, by the way, who commented here on the Facebook live stream, with all the excess force suits in the Floyd and Justine DeMond settlements, the Minneapolis Police Force is defunding itself. The force is defunding itself. Look to St. Paul only, and I don't know if this is true or not, but let's check this out and see if it is. Only two $30,000 payments for excessive force in the last 2 years. Is that right? I mean, we have like $30,000 is a day in Minneapolis with police excessive force. Like I said, this is not all police. I mean, I understand Minneapolis police, all the rest of the police officers in the state. Let me explain something to you really quick. I know Minneapolis police are going to say, did you hear that McNeil guy? He hates all cops. No, not at all. Not in the least bit. I've got friends who are cops. Most of you are absolutely brilliant freaking people. Absolutely. But even you have got to admit, Minneapolis is out of freaking control with that police department. And these things don't happen in other police departments. Not in this state. Not on this level. And yet, when we try to address it and try to clean things up, nothing happens. Nothing happens. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. While COVID-19 cases are still rising in parts of Minnesota, the majority of counties have experienced a drop over the most recent reporting period, which is good, but still there's a lot of bad places right now. The case rates are based on the number of confirmed cases over a one-week period presented as per 10,000 residents. Okay? Thursday's update from the Minnesota Department of Health covers the week of October 3rd to October 9th. While 34 counties saw their weekly case rate increase from the week prior, a more pronounced week-over-week decrease was seen in 51 counties. Still, there are high transmission rates almost everywhere in Minnesota. There are still 35 counties with case rates of at least 50 per 100,000. That's the highest possible level denoted by the Minnesota Department of Health. There were 38 counties above that threshold during the previous week's report. There are just 22 weeks prior. Okay, the 35 counties with case rates of at least 50 per 100 or per 10,000 residents are all in greater Minnesota. 35, I want to make sure, 35 counties in the entire state of Minnesota have these high case rates, and they're all out in Republican districts for the most part. I looked at the map. It is pretty much all Republican districts where they're basically out there saying, you don't need to get vaccinated. You don't need to wear a mask. You don't need to do that. They're willing to kill you for their cause. I mean, that is just amazing. And you're willing to die for them. That's just amazing, people. And, I mean, if you don't die, I hope you don't die because I've been consistent. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you to have lifelong medical problems. And I sure don't want you bankrupt. And I tell you what, a lot of these Republicans are willing to bankrupt you for years and years to come for their cause. Norman County, 90. That's the highest rate. That's deaths per 10,000 people or cases per 10,000 people. Cases per 10,000 people, 90 in Norman. Marshall, 87.3. Todd, 88.4. Wadena, 86.5. Pope, 85.6. Martin, 80.1. Monument County, 74.5. Yellow Medicine County, 73. Faribault, 69.8. Morrison, 69.5. By the way, that's the top 10. You still haven't even gotten below 69.5. Cass County, 68.9. Sibley County, 68.4. Hubbard County, 66.6. Beltrami County, 65.1. Mille Lacs County, 64.9. Fillmore County, 62.2. Big Stone County, 61.8. Crow Wing County, 60.0. McLeod County, top 18. You finally get below 60 at 18. 19, McLeod County, 59.7. Wabasha County, 59.5. Douglas County, 59.1. Otter Tail County, 58.6. Wilkin County, 58.3. Candy-Ohi County, 57.9. Redwood County, 57.4. Chisago County, 56.5. Benton County, 55.3. Polk County, 55.1. Both Brown and Traverse County are at 53.9. Wright County is at 52.9. Stearns County is at 52.7. Meeker County, 52.4. Lyon County, 50.7. And Sherburne County, 50.5. Those and all those counties, all 35 of them, show up on the highest level of transmission rate that the Minnesota Department of Health has. The Republican solution? Well, you know, just we'll make it a 40-point. They're not that bad. They're not at the 12,000 per 10,000 rate. What? Never underestimate the stupidity of a Republican. Seriously. They just never underestimate it. There are the 10 lowest weekly case rates according to the most recent Minnesota Department of Health report. Four of the 10 lowest are in the metro area. Kitson County is at 18.4. Cook County, which has been so good, they're actually gone up a little bit, 18.8. Ramsey is at 20.8. Coochiching is at 22.1. Hennepin County, 23.9. Winona County, 24.2. Washington County, 24.9. Dakota County is 25.2. Pipestone County, 26.1. And Lake of the Woods County, 26.3. And I don't want people saying I'm being consistently negative about outstate Minnesota. Let me say this. To those counties that are on the low end, that are outstate counties, Pipestone, Lake of the Woods County, as well as also Coochiching County, Cook County, Kitson County, good for you. Good for you. Well done, especially considering you're probably on the border with a lot of bad counties that are doing a horrible job. I commend you. You're doing things right. But my guess is going to be your county probably has better mask protocols, better vaccination rates, and people just using common sense. Because I can tell you right now, my guess is in most of those 35 counties I mentioned earlier, The main solution is, I took some of the horse dewormer and shoved it up my caboose, and I don't feel better. You know, that could be shame you're feeling, too, by the way. Just A whole big bucket of shame.
That sounds like it could be a country music song, too.
Oh, God. It could be. Maybe while I'm on my my hip replacement leave, maybe I'm jotting down a country tune.
Oh, there you are. Are you going to sing it, too, for us?
Maybe I would.
Okay.
Maybe I would. Maybe I'll need to be drugged out to do this, but I think the name of the song will be Are There Worms Up There? Oh, no, you know what I'm going to call it? Bucket of Shame. Bucket of Shame.
Well, you need the line in there. I shoved horse to wormer up my behind, and I don't feel any better.
I shoved horse to wormer up my behind, and hey, at least I am not blind. Yeah, it's finding the silver lining on that gray cloud, isn't it? Good luck. Why don't you try jamming some other things up there? See if that works. You know, you never know what might cure your COVID. I think there needs to be extensive research here. 952. You know, I had to go to Europe for 4 years with the military to get. Well, never mind. It's a completely different story. We'll take a break. Bill Corbett joins us. Riff Tracks is going to be live again on Tuesday. We'll talk to him about that. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Everybody get up.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It's my absolute privilege to welcome back Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks, joining us live today. Talk about, they've got Riff Tracks Live coming up on Tuesday, October 26th, a beaut too. Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. Bill, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks, Matt. Privilege to be here as well.
All right. You hooked me. Tell me about Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes.
Oh, man. Do you – I don't know how familiar you are with the just endless Amityville movies there are.
Yeah.
It started with the Amityville Horror in the 70s, vaguely based on what is supposed to be a true story, but of course is not really. But it's all situated in this one house out on Long Island, New York. A pretty cool looking house. It looks like a big pumpkin almost. But they just had a franchise that went on and on and on, and they're still making Amityville movies, and they're not even related to each other on some level. It's just the house. Well, this one was a TV movie made in like the late 80s, Amityville 4. The weird part is it doesn't even take place in Amityville. It's in Amityville for about 5 minutes, and then it goes to California. But they take a piece of furniture from that house, and it's haunted by Satan. So there you go.
Okay, wait a minute here. Like Jaws, was it Jaws 4 where the Jaws shark left New England to do some summer relaxation down on the coast? You're exactly. Saying the ghosts left, and they go to L.A. because what, they're trying to find break into commercial work?
they go to somebody sends an antique lamp, this ugly lamp that was in the Amityville house. Where it's not even ghosts, it's like the devil. It's after these priests exorcise the devil out of the house itself, it goes into a lamp, and then that lamp goes cross country to this lovely seaside house somewhere in a fictional town outside of San Francisco, it seems.
Okay.
But it's so silly. And Patty Duke, I don't know if you remember her.
Yes.
From. She is the star of it. trying to think of any other names. Nobody. The woman who was in Father Knows Best, Patricia, I can't even think of her name, but she was a little longer in the tooth then. She plays Patty Duke's mom. But it's very silly because ultimately it is like the devil is inside this ugly antique and terrorizes everybody.
What year did this come out? Do you remember?
1989.
Wow.
And it was a TV movie. So it has that sort of cheesy 80s, TV movie feel to it.
Okay. And it brings up an interesting point. Now, let's make sure I mention this. This is going to be Riff Tracks Live Tuesday, Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. You guys are all going to be out doing this. Are you doing it like you usually do where you're in, was it Tennessee and you're doing it, and then it goes to all the theaters?
Yeah, you remember well. We're in Nashville. We do it in front of a live audience there, not a slightly restricted number of people in the audience because of, you know, that thing that yes. keeps going on and on. And but, yeah, we do it live from there, and it just beamed out via satellite to hundreds of movie theaters in the USA.
And, of course, we're broadcasting live in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but we got listeners in all over the place, Texas, California, New York, Florida right now. If you are you get the chance, go to fathomevents.com, fathomevents.com, type in Riff Tracks. It'll come on up. Get your tickets. You'll have a local theater you can go to. You do not have to go to Nashville to see this.
And you don't.
You can go catch it live on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, is it?
That sounds right, yes. I think, yeah.
Okay.
At least Minneapolis time, it is that.
All righty. So you check with Fathom Events and go and enjoy that. I have to tell you, one of the things, as we're going to get into horror films here in just a second, but I came across a magic little thing on my Samsung TV Plus. I was watching the Bob Ross channel, and of course, This Old House, because me. And then all of a sudden, I like scrolling, there's a Riff Tracks channel. You guys actually have your own TV channel now.
We do, yeah. We have a deal with Samsung for that. Yeah, we're lucky that our stuff travels out. I mean, it's the wild, wild west out there in terms of content and delivery of content. And I hate to even use the word content. Man, it's like they brainwashed me into calling our own stuff content. But, like, as far as, you know, just getting entertainment stuff out there, and I think we talked about this last time I was on your show, just the way that the pandemic has affected how people watch stuff, streaming versus theater versus, you know, and that was already sort of a mess before the pandemic, like people were trying to figure that out. So the nice part for us is that we have found ways to get our, like you can find us on Amazon Prime, and a lot of our movies are in different streaming options at the moment. So yeah, there is that.
Well, and I want to tell you, I was down in South Carolina, and we were on I was down visiting family, and we had some friends over, and we pulled it up and we put on Riff Tracks. We watched a god awful movie that you guys were just brilliantly tearing apart. The woman at the end pulls a body out of a coffin, puts another guy in the bottom of the coffin, puts the body back on top of the coffin, and even though the guy can speak, apparently just seals the coffin and no one notices the screaming guy in the coffin, and they bury him, and it's the end. It's kind of one of those like 1970s revenge things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you remember that one?
Gosh, you know, they're all kind of mushed together in my brain. But I know the moment you mean. I can't.
Well, she becomes all of a sudden a master work with this crane that she uses to lift dead bodies around. I'm like, oh, okay, this is good.
Yeah, like, where'd you get that skill set?
Seems a little advanced for a high schooler, but okay. The thing which is great is that we will watch this, and it's just truly horrible film, and you guys are ripping on it, and they're all like, now they've told me, it's like, oh, they watch it all the time now. And so it's good, because you go on there, if you have a Samsung TV, go to TV Plus. Riff Tracks is on there. Go watch it. It is brilliant. And I should mention also, I do believe some of your MST3K stuff is on there too, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of channels that stream both. Some of them do on the same channel. And we're on Twitch too. We have a Twitch
That's right.
channel that keeps delivering stuff. So you can't escape us. So don't even try.
Well, and this let's get back to horror films then. You know, this
yes.
This is pound for pound the worst. I mean, holiday movies, Christmas movies can sometimes be spectacularly horrible, but horror movies around Halloween, because they're relatively cheap to make, they can follow the same formula with one or two stupid adjustments. The reality is that, you know, you really do. There are just so many bad horror films.
Yeah, I was noting that the other day, like as I was just going through the menu of like Amazon and Netflix, is like it is endless and so much stuff I've never heard of at all, and I've heard of a lot of stuff. But I think you're right. It's cheap enough to make. You can rely on, you know, the same kind of jump scares that you grew up with. You can add a little extra gore or blood. And it does seem like there's an audience for it that puts up with a lot of cheesiness and even like a certain amount of self-mockery in the thing itself, because they just love the genre so much. It's so cathartic for them or whatever, or they're psychopaths themselves. Who knows? But, you know, it's very popular. And there's good horror out there, too.
Yes.
I'm not a complete aficionado of it or a connoisseur, but like I know that there's really good stuff that scares the bejeebers out of me, even knowing all the tricks of horror at this point.
Well, I'll say Jaws. I mean, I think, you know, Jaws is a terrifying movie. And because I think it's one of those things, great drama, great comedy, great horror films have a footprint in reality. And sharks are in the ocean, and so all of a sudden, you know, you get this extraordinarily large one that's hungry, and it becomes an issue. I do appreciate good horror, and you know, I go back and watch the original Ghostbusters. That's a great film. That's a very good film. But God, I mean, you're right. You go up on Amazon, you go up on Netflix. Just the cornucopia of just absolute, you know, crap they're putting out today that just is, you know, did someone just have to burn up? It was like Brewster's Millions, and you just had to burn off $1 million, so you put out this piece of garbage, and you're putting it on a direct-to-stream site? Because it really is, especially now we're starting to get a lot of garbage from overseas, too. It's not just American horror films. We get these, like, Bulgarian horror film that, oh, my God.
And I think as a genre, it's translates relatively well, you know, as opposed to like culturally a little more specific stuff that without horror or without action. So action and horror are easier to import than, you know, like a family drama, for example.
Yeah, it's like, but of course, there's always little weird quirks. Like, when did vampires get laser vision? You know, like it's like some sort of Romanian counter story that we don't know about. You'd mentioned the psychopath thing. I always get freaked out a little bit when I have someone who says to me, I say, well, this horror film's horrible. I said, well, the script is bad, but look how realistic the gore is. And I'm like, you're sick. You know, it's like,
how do you know that?
Exactly. It's like, that's exactly how intestines fall out of a body. Really? Is that how they do? I would not know
sure.
that.
Oh, sure. I've done extensive studies of that in various alleys around the city.
I guess to a point you can appreciate the cinematic talent it takes to make it look like you really inviscerated someone. But at the same time, I think if that's your primary selling point, your entire audience is just geared towards psychopaths.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I'm a little, even for all the crap I've seen, I am a little on the sensitive side about absolute gore. I am a little bit of a wuss. Whereas my son, who's 14 years old, seems to have been completely desensitized to that somehow. And I don't know what to say except should I watch him a little more closely, or he, you know, his explanation is like, I know it's just something done in a studio. I don't care.
Well, I mean, and what it is, it's like people looked at Faces of Death and said, you know what this thing needs? A script. And it's like, really? I don't think it needed a script because I'm with you. There are sometimes I think it's where I spit on your grave. They did the remake of that in what, 2010, and that's okay. It got a little iffy at times, but as well, I think under the nature of what that story is, the woman seeking revenge on the people that, you know, basically raped her and murdered her, that there's in this cutting back, you know, very aggressively. I get it. It's stuff like Hostel or even like the Saw movies where it's like, okay, why are we doing this again? I mean, this seems pretty elaborate for nothing.
That feels kind of sick to me, I got to say. And I, you know, I'm probably showing my age, but it's just I've seen – we did the first Saw movie for Riff Trax, and I think they only got more extreme since then. And it was, I'm forgetting his name, but the original Wesley from Princess Bride.
Cary Elwes, isn't it? Is it Cary Elwes?
Cary Elwes. Yeah. I mean, I hated to see him tortured like that. It just did not give me much fun. I don't know what to say.
Buttercup, no.
But I've seen I've seen the tiniest bit of Hostel, and I ran away, like, get me away from this.
Yeah, I think that there is, you know, that, and that's the other thing, too, is it's almost a response. And speaking of which, I'm kind of, I think it, to a point, it's a response of the frustration and anger we kind of get today, and that people kind of, you know, it's like, you know, the popularity of like zombie films. It was like people, their lives they feel are so screwed up that the only way they could reset it is that if a zombie apocalypse occurs, and then they'll be appreciated. You know, it's in that kind of vein, which brings me to Squid Game. I have been perplexed. I've watched well, 6 episodes of it. Mm-hmm. It's got some stylistic elements to it for sure. It's definitely a different take on that the same, and I'm not giving anything away, this was in the description of the show, basically a bunch of people are kept in a room and they play kids games against each other, and if they lose the kids game they get killed, and so it's basically, and then the winner takes a big pot, and so you kind of go through this whole thing where they're playing these kids games, and it gets gruesome to a point. It's not gruesome as Hostel or Saw or anything, but it is a little bit gruesome, and the reality is that I'm trying to figure out why. Apparently in Korea, it was popular, but it wasn't nearly as popular as it is in the United States, where it's the number one stream show in the history of Netflix.
Wow.
And I can't even – I mean, I think – is it because we're going through the pandemic and it's kind of the – you know, that person dies and that person gets sick, and so that kind of makes sense to us? I don't know.
You know, I've only seen an episode and a half, and I am inclined to see more. I'm interested. And it's not, like you said, it's not a wholly original idea. There's Hunger Games and stuff like that, you know, similar themes. This does have a certain panache to it, the style and the set design and all that, that I find kind of cool so far. I don't know if it gets better or worse. But, yeah, I mean, with things like this, I know that critics try to figure that stuff out, and they try to bring together the current socioeconomic political stuff. I'm sure it's all contributing, you know, like the feeling of desperateness that the pandemic engendered, the economic precarity of right now, the political precarity. It just feels like, yeah, why wouldn't you take a chance, you know, and just for a big potential prize, because things aren't looking good, you know, with climate change. So, you know, I'm not a sociologist, but I have to believe that that's all playing into it.
I think you're right.
That and the big giant pig pulls money.
I think you're right. I think there, and it kind of ties back to the zombie thing you and I are talking about. It's like, I think there are so many people that are kind of desperate. I mean, it's kind of a combination of zombie film and Vegas that I'll take the risk. I mean, my life is so bad. I'll take that risk. I'll go try to do that. I bet I could win that. And it is odd. It is weird how sometimes popular culture resonates. And I think that, you know, in history, I mean, as you and I are getting older here, this is going to live on. I mean, this will be one of those things that in 40 years people will be still talking about Squid Game because of how the big impact it was on culture. It's to a point sometimes it just perplexes the living daylights out of me how something like that all of a sudden becomes so huge.
Yeah, I don't know. And there's also the factor of like, Netflix is not a very reliable reporter of its own stuff. I'm not saying they're totally making it up, but they don't really share numbers as a rule. So who knows what is going on there?
Yeah.
I think it definitely is popular. You know, there's no question about that. But whether it's this degree popular or that, I don't know. Show us your books, Netflix, and maybe we can figure it out.
Well, and the same thing for Disney got into that trouble, too, with the reporting and numbers for what, Black Widow and Cruella. There are people who said that they were not telling the truth. You know, you're going to get a hometown, you know, pitch there. We're self-monitoring. We'll be honest. Yeah.
Right.
Riff Tracks Live, Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. Yes, it's that bad. But if it's going to be that bad, you want Bill Corbett to be giving you a play-by-play commentary of it. And you can have
that. We'll make
you laugh. They will make you laugh, indeed. Riff Tracks will take it on. In theaters on Tuesday, October 26th. I will put a link to Fathom Events, how you can get tickets. Go see this. Seriously, in this day and age, we all need more laughs. We should not be hoping for a Squid Game. You can just go and do this, and you will laugh your caboose off. Trust me, it's brilliant. If you want a little bit of an appetizer, go to Samsung TV Plus, pull up the Riff Tracks channel. You'll have a hoot with that as well. Bill, by all means, congratulations on this. Come back anytime you like, my friend.
You bet. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks, Fathom Events. Once again, this is coming up here on Tuesday. I will, like I said, I'll put a link on all the social media for that so you can go get tickets. Go get tickets and go see that. We'll take a break, wrap up the show for the week for me. When I do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Bill Corbett, just one of my favorite people to talk with. I love when we get Trace on, Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and the Mads are back. The problem we've had is that I want to try to get him on. He does generally, they practice their show in the time the show is on, in the afternoon. When we used to be in the 3 o'clock hour, we were able to get Trace on quite a bit more. We haven't been able to get him on since. I want to try to get him on, but they just... Robert Beryl. It's nice to have you know comedy breaks like this. And the reality is that it's. I honestly think that Bill Corbett just gave you a pretty good rundown, the psychology of it all, the risk you're willing to take. Yeah, is that you know? I think that sometimes these shows resonate. I think like when Tiger King came on out, I think Tiger King resonated because no matter how bad your life is, you could watch that and say, well, at least I'm not that. At least I'm not that bad. And there was no redeeming quality of pretty much anyone in that entire show. And it's so I think people watched that to make themselves feel better about themselves. When it comes to something like Squid Game or these things, I think what you're doing is I think there are so many people that feel hopeless in their lives and they feel kind of empty in their lives that actually resonates. Kind of like the way I mentioned Jaws earlier. Jaws is a great horror film because sharks in the ocean, that does happen. You know, if you've gotten to the point where you can say, boy, I might be willing to go play a bunch of kid game where a bunch of people get killed if they don't win. If I can win all that money, I can see how that resonates to a point. And it's just, and I want to make sure we understand this. This is because of Republican policies. People are frustrated and angry because quality of life is just not kept up with society, and that's because Republican policies have shifted everything to the wealthiest of wealthy, so they can get more money for their campaigns and their lobbying gang when they're done, and that's all it is. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that. Hey, once again, I'm not dancing, even though this is my last show for a few days. I'm not dancing today because I can't dance. I'm getting hip replacement surgery. That is happening tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to this because, like I said, I actually needed my hip replaced months ago, but then they found that other health problem, which, like I said, talking about horror shows, I almost didn't make it out of that haunted house. But I will be back at it. It does sound like we are going to have – Todd's going to be in tomorrow?
Indeed, Todd tomorrow.
Todd Mickelson going to be in tomorrow. We'll let it be a surprise where you're going to have Monday, Tuesday. Might be a few days after that I'll be back, but I'm definitely – we got to get the Ghostbox Radio guys in for Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Bakken. Let's get him on in here before we go to Halloween. Have a good one. I'll be back in a few days. Until then, see ya.